This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the most beautiful names of Allah, the Exalted. And today, inshallah, we will look at the name, the beautiful name Al-Wakil. The name of Allah, Al-Wakil, which is generally translated as the trustee or the disposer of affairs or the guardian, the preserver, this name occurs in the Quran 14 times for Allah Azza wa Jal. And many times it has been mentioned also that you are not a wakil over people, meaning you, O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are not the wakil. It is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala who is wakil. So on the one hand, the name has been mentioned for Allah Azza wa Jal, and at the same time, this quality has also been negated from others, which shows us that this name is exclusively for Allah Azza wa Jal, or there is a specific meaning to the name which is exclusively for Allah, and it does not and it is not true for people or for the creation. Now, the name of Allah occurs 14 times, Al-Wakil occurs 14 times in the Quran. For example, we have in Surah Al-An'am, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَاعْبُدُوهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. That is Allah, your Lord. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. He is the creator of everything. Therefore, all of you should worship Him. And He is Al-Wakil. He is the disposer of affairs of everything. Or He is the guardian over everything. Now, when we look at the word Wakil, Wakil is derived from the root Waw Kaf Lam. And وَكَّلَهُ بِشَيْءٍ means that he appointed someone with the management of a thing. So it means to appoint someone, to entrust someone, to manage something or to take care of something. And تَوَكَّلَ عَلَيْهِ means to rely upon someone. Because you would only hand over your affairs to someone that you rely upon, that you believe is able to manage the affairs. Now, the word wakil is understood as, it basically means four things. First of all, wakil means shaheed, meaning a witness, someone who watches over, who is present when something is taking place, or is a witness to an event that is occurring. So this is the first implication of the word wakil, that wakil means shaheed, a witness. Secondly, the word wakil also means a caretaker, meaning mudabbir or kafil. So the one who takes care of the affairs of something or someone, so he manages all of the affairs, he is responsible over the matters. So this is the second meaning of the word wakil. It means kafil. Thirdly, the word wakil also means hafiz, or a guardian, meaning the one who guards and protects what is entrusted to him. And then finally, the word wakil also means al-kafi. Kafi as in the one who is sufficient when he is depended upon, or the one who is enough for the one who depends on him. So these are the four implications of the word wakil. Shahid, kafil, hafil, and al-kafi. A witness, a caretaker or trustee, a guardian, and also the one who is enough, the one who is sufficient. And notice that the word wakil, fa'il, it has mubalagha, hyperbole in it. So not just a witness, but truly a witness who witnesses over everything. Not just a caretaker, but the one who fully takes care of what he is responsible for. And not just a guardian, but one who fully guards and protects and preserves what is entrusted to him. And al-kafi, meaning the one who is entirely sufficient for the one who, or he is enough as the one who is relied upon. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, what does that mean? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, this means that first of all, Allah is a witness over everything. Because remember, the first implication of the word wakil is shaheed. So Allah is a witness over everything, including the deeds of people. So there is nothing that we do except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing it. He is a witness to our actions. So whether we are making a commitment or a contract, we're doing something personal or with other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wakil over it. So for example, in Surah Qasas, verse number 28, we learn about how the father of the two girls, when he made an offer to Musa alayhi salam, and he told him basically that you can stay with me for 8 years or 10 years. So then Musa alayhi salam responded that أَيَّمَا الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيَّ. That whichever of the two terms I fulfill, meaning 8 years or 10 years, I don't think either of them is unfair. And then because they were making a contract, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. Allah is over what we are saying, a wakil, meaning a witness. Allah is a witness to what each of us is committing to. Because sometimes what happens is that people give their word, but then they completely go against it. And because there were no witnesses present over there, you know, they're not able to, or rather others are not able to take justice from them. So here Musa alayhi salam said something very beautiful that wallahu ala ma naqulu wakil. This is a reminder to oneself and also to the other party that Allah is a witness over what we are agreeing upon. Likewise, we learn in Surah Yusuf, ayah number 66, that when the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, when they made a promise with their father that they were going to bring Binyamin back, he made them promise in the name of Allah, it is mentioned that فَلَمَّا آتَوْهُ مَوْثِقَهُمْ, when they gave him their pledges, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. He said that Allah is over what we are saying, a witness. So we see this in the statement of two prophets of Allah, that they remembered the fact that Allah is a witness over what they were saying and what others were saying to them. And this is a way of really expressing our reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's very difficult to trust people. Right, it's very difficult to trust them in the sense that you believe their word, right, and you believe that they are going to do what they're saying. You're taking a huge risk over here, that it's possible that they take advantage of you, they completely go against their word. So here, reminding oneself and the other party that Allah is a witness to what we are saying is a way of reminding one another to honor your word. Then secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, this also means that he is the caretaker of his creation. Meaning he is the kafil, he is the mudabbir, he is the disposer of their affairs. meaning with his knowledge and his perfect power and his perfect wisdom, he manages the affairs of the creation. So he continues to provide them and he continues to fulfill their needs for them. And if you think about it, there's so many creatures who have so many needs in any moment. At this second, even all of us, you know, we have needs. We need oxygen. We need to breathe. You know, our heart needs to pump blood, etc. There's so many needs that we have within our bodies and also in our environments that need to be fulfilled for us to live, for us to exist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil over them, which means that the creation could not exist without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not provide for them, would not take care of them, would not take care of these matters, then we would not be able to live. And really, if we had to take care of ourselves entirely, then how could we survive? You see, if a person has trouble breathing and they need an oxygen tank, they need a mask, they need, you know, external help in order to breathe, how difficult is their life, right? If a person is not able to use the bathroom on their own and they need external, you know, equipment to help them, again, their life is so difficult. Just managing the sugar in your body, right? The insulin in your body, even that requires so much attention. So think about it. There are so many matters that we don't even have to worry about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of them. And if He would not do that, then we would not be able to live. So Allah is al-wakil, meaning He is the one who takes care of His creation. He manages their affairs. He provides them sustenance. He fulfills their needs. And this is what is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ, that is Allah your Lord, meaning the one who created you, the one who owns you, and the one who is taking care of you. And when it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who alone has created you, who alone is taking care of you, then the thing is that la ilaha illahu. The fact is that there is no God worthy of worship except Him. You should worship only Allah. And He is not just your Lord, but He is khaliqu kulli shay. He is the creator of everything. So there is nothing that exists except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created it. And when that is the case, fa'buduhu, you all should worship Him alone. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ, and He is the caretaker of everything. And also we learn in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 132, that وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, that to Allah belong whatever is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth, and Allah is sufficient as wakil, as caretaker. He is enough as one who takes care of the creation. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, this also means that He is the guardian of His creation, meaning He is the one who not only provides them and takes care of them, but He also preserves them. He also protects them, meaning if it was not for the protection that He gives, the creation would not be able to survive. I mean, think about how vulnerable we are. We are safe on earth, but at the same time, we are always in danger, right? There could happen something beneath our feet, or a reaction in the atmosphere, or something falling from above into onto the earth, and our life would completely come to an end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't just provide, but He is wakil over His creation, meaning He guards them, He preserves them, He protects them. So for example, in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 68, it is mentioned, أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرِّ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُوا لَكُمْ وَكِيلًا. That do you feel secure? That a side of the earth could literally, swallow you in. It could open up and it could cave in and you're gone, right? Something could happen beneath your feet on the surface of the earth and you would not be able to live. Or something could fall from the sky above, a shower of stones, right? And if all of these pebbles are falling upon you, then what's going to happen? You will find no wakil for yourselves, meaning no one to guard you and protect you. We also learn in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 62, that Allahu khaliqu kulli shay' wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakil. That Allah is the creator of everything, and He is also a guardian over everything. So nothing is safe, is preserved, without the protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, without the preservation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. In Surah Yunus, ayah 108, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, basically being told to say that وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. I am not a guardian over you. Meaning, I cannot protect you, I cannot save you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose safety and protection you need. So don't do anything that will cause you to lose the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then fourthly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, this also means that He is the one who is relied upon. Wakil, as in the one who is relied upon, the one who is depended upon. And when He is the one who is relied upon, that means that He is enough for those who rely upon Him, for those who seek refuge with Him, Azza wa Jal. And this is why we're told in the Quran that وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And this is mentioned in multiple places. For example, in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 81, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 3, that وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, that Allah is enough as wakil. Meaning if you trust in Allah, if you put your faith in Allah, if you rely upon Allah, then that is enough for you. Then this is enough for you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your needs. And we see this statement being mentioned in different contexts, right? So for example, in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 81, it is mentioned, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That turn away from them. From who? From people who deceive you, from people who oppose you, or from people who cheat you, who lie, who lie to you, etc. Then turn away from them and put your trust in Allah. Turn away from them, stop expecting from them, and put your trust in Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah is enough as wakil, as one who is depended upon. In Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 3, the Prophet ﷺ again is told, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Put your trust in Allah. Do not obey those who disbelieve. Do not obey those who are hypocrites. Right? Don't seek their approval. Rather, seek the approval of Allah and put your trust in Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah is enough as wakil, as the one who is depended upon, as the one who is relied upon. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wakil, yes, He guards, He protects, He takes care of the entire creation, but He especially takes care of and guards His righteous slaves, His worshippers, meaning the righteous slaves, the salihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially takes care of them and provides for them and preserves them. Out of His favor towards them and out of His appreciation for them and out of His generosity towards them, His mercy towards them. When they rely upon Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. When they seek His approval, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grants them what they desire, what they wish for. And when they seek guidance from Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guides them to what is best for them. And when they seek protection with Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them from what is destructive for them, whether it is something that they can see or something that they cannot see. whether it is in worldly matters or in spiritual matters. It could be in matters of the world and also in the matters related to the hereafter. So for example, in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 65, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. That this was said to Shaitan, that you will have no power over my worshippers. That you will have no authority, no control over my worshippers. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا, and your Lord is sufficient as wakil, as the one who is relied upon, as the one who takes care of his slaves and the one who protects them. So this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his righteous slaves even from shaitan, that shaitan is not able to lead them astray. Shaitan is not able to influence them. Shaitan is not able to, lead them to sin. In Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 36, we learn, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا? Is Allah not sufficient and enough for his worshipper, for his slave? And what's the answer? Absolutely, Allah is. Because you see, the people of Mecca would threaten the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would try to frighten him, that because you don't worship idols, they are going to harm you. They're going to be displeased with you, and they're going to harm you in one way or another. So the response is given that alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda, that is Allah not enough for his worshipper? Any how could these idols harm you? And even if someone were to try to harm you, is Allah not enough to protect you, to save you? Absolutely, He is. And we see this, that in Mecca, where people try to, harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in numerous ways and multiple times, they were not successful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. So, alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda? Absolutely, Allah is enough for His slave. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 173, we learn, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. The companions, they said, Allah is enough for us, and what an excellent wakil He is. Meaning when we rely upon Him, when we put our trust in Him, and we seek refuge with Him, and we seek help from Him, then He is excellent. We will not suffer. We will not fail. Even if the entire world abandons us, even if the entire world is against us, Allah is enough for us. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. So now the question is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, what are we supposed to do? What is our responsibility? How is it that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that He is al-wakil? So the first thing is that we must know and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for us. Because you see, it is mentioned repeatedly in the Quran that وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, Allah is enough, right? He is enough as a witness, as the one who has witnessed the injustice, right? As the one who has witnessed, what people have said, right? So Allah is enough as a witness. Allah is enough as, the one who is relied upon, as the one who protects his slave, as the one who provides for his slave. So we should remind ourselves of this, that Allah is enough for me. Because a lot of times what happens is that, for example, when we have some resources that we need in order to accomplish our work, sometimes we realize that those resources are limited, they are deficient, right? Or the support that we expect from people is not there. The cooperation that we expect from people is not there. So how many times are you going to go and beg people and insist and demand? Sometimes what you say is falling on deaf ears, right? Sometimes your requests are being ignored. Right. Sometimes, the dreams that you have, the goals that you have, you don't see them, you don't see them coming true. So remind yourself at that time that Allah is there and Allah is enough for me. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Secondly, it is very important that we think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have حُسْنُ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ. That even if, you know, for example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. But if, for example, there is illness, there is some kind of, you know, financial damage, some kind of loss, you were getting better and then all of a sudden your health became worse than before, right? You thought that a problem would go away. You see it going away and then you see that it's come back in full force, right? You expect that things would return to normal, right? And then you find out that there is another lockdown now, right? So in these times, it is very important that we think good about Allah. Because, you know, shaitan might put this in your head that, well, if Allah is wakil, right, and I'm putting my trust in Allah, then how come I'm still in danger? How come I'm still unwell? How come things are not getting better? Right? Why is this happening? How come this is happening? Is it not the case that if we put our trust in Allah, Allah is enough for us? Then how come things are not working out in my favor? Right? Instead of thinking like this, we need to think good about Allah. Because remember, there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees except that that decree is perfect. It is filled with His, you know, it is with His wisdom. It is with His knowledge. So we don't blame Allah, all right? We don't blame Allah. We blame ourselves in the sense that we take responsibility. We introspect. We see that where was I deficient, right? Where was I deficient? Where did I say something that was unbefitting? Where did I think something that was not appropriate? That think good about Allah, that Allah is wakil, right? But through this difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching me something that I would not have otherwise learned. Or that through this difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting me from something that could be far more worse for me, right? Or that through this difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping me focus on what is most important so that I don't waste my time in other things, right? So think good about Allah. Never think that Allah, would fail in His promise, right? Or that Allah's help is not enough, that you need to figure things out on your own now. Astaghfirullah. No, think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wakil, then what does this mean? That we keep asking Allah, that whatever needs we have, little or big, we keep asking Allah because we are supposed to rely upon Allah, right? Allah is wakil, meaning He takes care of His creation, He protects His creation. So this means that we ask Allah. If we have a need, we ask Allah. If we need some kind of security, some kind of safety, we turn to Allah, right? Whether it is financial or social or in our families, any kind of issue, keep asking Allah because Allah is wakil, right? In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. That ask Allah of His favor. Indeed, Allah is knowing of everything. Then number four, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wakil, this means that we should also seek sufficiency from Him. What does this mean? This means that when we believe that Allah is wakil, right, that He alone is sufficient, right, that He is the one who takes care of His creation, He is the one who manages the affairs of His creation, right, then if I have a need that is unfulfilled, who is it that I should turn to? To Allah. Who is it that I should, I should call upon that He should fulfill my need? It is Allah, right? And this means that I should depend entirely on Allah, right? Instead of looking at what people have. Instead of placing our expectations in people, let us start placing our expectations in Allah Azza wa Jal. So when there is any unfulfilled need, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to suffice you so that you don't have to look toward what is unlawful, or you don't have to look toward, you know, what people have. So for example, in a hadith we learn Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that, you know, his mother sent him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Why? In order to ask him for some money, right? So what happened, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, you know, he came and he was shy to ask, so he just sat down, right? He just sat near the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he understood. And he said to him, that man istaghna aghnahu Allahu azza wa jalla, that whoever wants to be independent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him independent. Meaning, whoever wants to be independent of people so that he doesn't have to rely upon them and ask them, right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that independence. Wa man ista'affa a'affahu Allah, and whoever is seeking afaf, right? Meaning restraint, that he does not want to put his hand out before people, or he does not want to fall in sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him refrain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that protection. وَمَنْ اسْتَكْفَى كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ, and whoever wants to be content with his lot, right, with his share, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him. So it is very easy to, you know, ask people, put your needs before people, right? That I really want this. Can you do this for me? I really want that. Can you give it to me? It's very tempting even, right? But when we have needs, then we should turn towards Allah. That, Ya Allah, you fulfill this need of mine. I wish for this. I want this. I desire this. Ya Allah, you give me, you grant me what I desire. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't ask people for what they're able to give, for what they're able to do. We can, all right? So, for example, you ask your parents for money, right? Why? Because you need money to buy a bus fare, or to buy your books, to pay for your tuition, etc. You need that money. You know that your parents are the ones who, you know, take care of your financial matters. So you ask them. Of course you do, right? But you see that ultimate dependence should be on who? That expectation should be from who? It should be from Allah. That even when you're asking your parents, right, don't just look at your parents as the source of your money, right? As the source of your success. Consider them a means, that they will only give me what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable them to give me, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that in their, you know, that sense of generosity in their heart, right? Because sometimes we see this, that there are parents whose children are in need, but those parents don't care. Right? Or even if they care, they don't have the means to provide for their children, right? They don't have that money. They don't have that ability. So we ask people for what they are able to give, but our reliance is on who? On Allah Azza wa Jal. That we believe that Allah is the real source, right? That Allah is the ultimate provider. And Allah is the one who gives us, yes, through different means. And sometimes those means are people, right? And then also remember that, you know, while you do ask people, it's not nice to keep asking them for every little thing or asking them all the time. Because even if they are your parents, they will get annoyed, right? That there will come a point when they will say, stop begging and start working, right? If you want money, then go earn money, right? Stop asking us all the time. And this is the nature of people. They don't like to be asked. And when you keep asking people, you are in a way, lowering yourself in their eyes. You are bringing yourself down. When you put your hand before people, your hand becomes the lower hand, right? And when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you increase in your dignity. So instead of always asking people, please give me this, please give me that, pass this to me, pass that to me, bring me this, bring me that, because then people are going to get tired of you, right? They're going to get tired of you. They're going to get annoyed. They're going to get irritated, and they're going to start, staying away from you, avoiding you. Instead of that, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, again, I'm not saying that never talk to people, never ask them, never express your needs before them. But you need think about this. The amount of requests that you make, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be more than the amount of requests that you make from people, right? And stop looking at people, with the belief that, oh, they are going to give me, they are going to help me, they are going to, instead of always looking at people, how can I use them to my advantage, right? What can I get out of them? This is very greedy. If you have a need, ask Allah. Ya Allah, you provide me so that I don't need to even beg people. You find weakness in your body so that you even have difficulty preparing your own food. Ask Allah to give you strength, right? To give you healing so that you don't have to ask people all the time, can you prepare food for me? And can you do this for me? Can you fry an egg for me? All right? Seek sufficiency. Seek independence. And when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you independent, He will make you independent of people. And whatever difficulty that we are experiencing, even financial trouble, right? So for example, we learn about Ali radiallahu anhu, that a slave came to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said that, I have made a contract with my master in order to buy my freedom. And the amount of money that I'm supposed to pay him, right, to buy my freedom, I'm unable to find that money. I don't have it, right? So please help me. So in other words, that slave was asking Ali radiallahu anhu for charity, right? For some kind of help, financial help. So Ali radiallahu anhu said to him that, shall I not teach you a dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me? It will surely prove so effective that if you have a debt as large as a mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely pay it for you. And even if you have a huge loan to pay off, right, hundreds and thousands of dollars even, right, huge loan to pay off, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be enough for you, so you will not have to go on begging people, asking them, please help me with whatever that you can, right? Rather ask Allah. So what is that dua? That dua is, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik, wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. A beautiful dua. That, oh Allah, you suffice me. Allahumma kfini, oh Allah, you suffice me, bihalalika an haramika, with what you have permitted, so that I have no need of what you have forbidden. Because you see, sometimes when the halal is, it seems difficult to access, right? That is when we start turning toward what is haram, isn't it? For example, if we want to buy a house, right, and we cannot find a halal loan, then what do we think? Well, the haram loan, right, the one with interest, is so much more easier. So go for that option, right? Or finding the perfect spouse, right, is proving difficult. So then a person says, well, you know what? I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't want to make a mistake by marrying the wrong person. So let me just enjoy friendship with this person or that person, right? You think that haram is easier, right? Why? Because finding what is halal, it has its challenges. And sometimes we are tested in this way. So you ask Allah that, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. Oh Allah, suffice me with what you have permitted so that I have no need of what you have forbidden. Wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. And make me independent of anyone other than you by your grace. That, Ya Allah, make me such that I don't have to rely on people. Make me such that I only rely upon you, right? I don't want to be dependent on people, because when you depend on people, even if it's your own children, there is difficulty in that, right? There is some kind of humiliation in that. And it's awkward, it's difficult. So, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. Ali radiallahu anhu taught him this dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught Ali radiallahu anhu this dua. This is a dua that we can make when we're, having difficulty finding, a spouse, when we're having difficulty in paying off a loan, a bill, right? A debt, whatever it may be. Seek sufficiency from Allah Azza wa Jal. Then number five, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, this means that we should know and believe that Allah is the preserver and guardian of His creation. Meaning He is a witness over His creation, He protects them, He is the one who preserves them and their interests. And this means that we should rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal. We should put our trust in Allah because He is wakil. So this is why we do tawakkul on Him, right? He is the one who is enough when trusted, when relied upon. Therefore, we rely upon Allah. We put our trust in Allah. In Surah Al-Muzzammil, ayah number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. That Allah is the Lord of the East and the West, right? Imagine the East and the West. That's what? The entire world, right? Allah is the Lord of Mashriq, Maghrib. And Mashriq, the East, meaning the time when the sun rises. Maghrib, the time when the sun sets. So all places, all times, right? Allah is their Lord. La ilaha illahu. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Therefore, take Him as wakil, meaning trust in Him. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. In Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 58, we're told, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Put your trust in the ever-living one who does not die. Right? Because we put our trust in what? In temporary things. Whether it is people or money or, or car or means of transportation, your job, your source of income. And all of these things are what? They are temporary. They're not meant to last forever. So put your trust in who? In Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Alladhi la yamut, the one who does not die. In Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 2, we learn that the Bani Israel were told, Allah tattakhidhu min duni wakila. Do not take anyone besides me as wakil. Meaning trust in me alone. Trust in Allah alone. Put your faith in Allah. Rely upon Allah. In Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 3, it is mentioned, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That whoever puts his trust in Allah, then Allah is enough for him. So وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah is sufficient as wakil. Therefore, put your trust in Allah. Now the question is, how can we do that? How is it that we can put our trust in Allah? How can we have tawakkul in Allah? Now, the first thing is that we should understand what tawakkul really is. What does it mean to rely upon Allah? Because a lot of us, we know that, we should have tawakkul on Allah, but we don't necessarily understand what tawakkul means, right? What does it mean to rely upon Allah? So there's four things when it comes to tawakkul, right? The first thing is, tawakkul is to have sidqul i'timadi ala Allah, right? Sidqul i'timad, yani having true reliance upon Allah, yani truly depending on Allah Azza wa Jal, yani believing with all your heart that, yes, Allah is enough for me. Right, believing with your heart and being very honest in that belief that yes, Allah is enough for me, And the good that I want, Allah is able to give it to me. And the harm that I fear, Allah is able to save me from it. Allah is able to protect me from it. So this is the first step, that you believe that Allah is enough for you. صِدْقُ الْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. All right. Secondly, مَعَ الثِّقَةِ بِهِ. All right. Which means that you have confidence in Him. Right, that you also, trust that Allah is able to do that for you, right? And you, part of that is that you hold on to Allah, right? Thiqa, you hold on to Allah. You seek His help. So tawakkul, it begins with what? With belief in the heart that Allah is enough for me, right? Having confidence in Allah. And then you also ask Allah for help, right? You also ask Allah for help. You make dua, because sometimes what happens is that we believe that yes, Allah is able to do all things. Allah is able to provide me. Yes, Allah will take care of my affairs. But then we don't make dua, right? We have to make dua as well. We have to give sadaqah. Right, we have to do different things to earn the approval of Allah, to please Allah. Right, that if there is any sins that are, our own past mistakes because of which we are, in difficulty today, through sadaqah, through those righteous deeds, inshallah, those sins are erased. Seek forgiveness from Allah. Right, so you don't just have that realization in your heart, but you practically exhibit that. How? By seeking Allah, by holding on to Allah, by seeking His approval. Then the third part of tawakkul is husnul dhanni billahi, meaning that you also have good expectation of Allah, right? You expect good from Allah. You don't have that doubt in your heart that I don't know, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not too sure. Right, husnul dhann billah, you expect the best from Allah and you believe the best about Allah, that you remind yourself that Allah does not fail in His promise, and Allah is hakim, right? He is wise, He is alim, He knows, right? And He is fair, right? He is just. So he will not, whatever He gives me will be good for me, right? So husnul dhann billah. And then finally, tawakkul also includes fi'lul asbab, meaning using the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Tawakkul does not mean inaction. Tawakkul doesn't mean that you just say, Allah is enough for me, and then you do nothing yourself. No, tawakkul is that you believe Allah is enough for you. You hold on to Allah, right? You expect the best from Allah. You believe the best about Allah. And you use the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, right? To achieve your goal, right? That could mean sometimes talking to people. It could mean, for instance, working, doing whatever that you can. For example, Maryam, when she was in the process of giving birth, and she was all alone, and it was so difficult for her, what was she told? وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذِعِ النَّخْلَى. Right? That you shake the trunk of the palm tree. Right? You shake it, and what will happen? Ripe dates will fall down on you. Amazing. Maryam was not told, okay, you just lie down, don't move, right? Just rest, take it easy, take deep breaths, right? And just relax. Right, because when you tell someone just relax, they can't relax. When you tell someone, oh, just take it easy, they can't take it easy. When you tell someone who's in anxiety, just calm down, they cannot calm down. Right, they need to do something. They need to be, for example, when it comes to having a panic attack, one of the strategies that they give is that start listing five things that you can see, right, and four things that you can hear. Right, so shift your focus, shift your attention, right, and by the time you reach you know, the fourth thing that you can hear, and the three things that you can smell, and two things that you can touch, and one thing that I might be messing this up, but the point is that you know, you start listing, you start coming up with things within your environment, right, that you can notice, that you can feel in different ways. You start using your senses in different ways, and that helps you shift your focus from what is causing the panic attack to, you know, to helping your body relax and calm. So when Maryam was giving birth, she was told to shake the tree, right? Now, dates could have just been brought to her on a platter, but she had to shake the tree. And mind you, you can't just get dates from a tree by kicking it, by shaking it. It doesn't work like that. So when she was told shake the tree, this was in a way to distract her from what was causing her to be so anxious, but also teaching her that you have to use the means that Allah has given you, right? You can't just sit there and expect things to happen. You have to do your part. Even if it seems that what is within your ability is very little, right? Even if it seems like it might not make a difference, it can, it will. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that you rely upon, will complete the matter for you. So what is within your ability? To shake the tree a little bit. Okay, you do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wakil, the one that you rely upon, he will cause the dates to fall. Right? And then you can eat those. So this is how you rely upon Allah azza wa jal, that the first thing is you understand tawakkul. Right? The second thing is that the way to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you express words of tawakkul. You verbalize your dependency on Allah azza wa jal. Because yes, you have that belief in your heart, right? Allah is enough for me. Allah is the guardian of his creation. Allah is the one who manages the affairs of his creation. That is true. You have that belief, right? You have it written in your notes. Right, a lot has been written about this topic in different you know, books. It's been spoken about a lot, but you have to personalize it. Right, you have to say it with your own mouth that Allah is enough for me, because when you hear it from your own mouth, when you say it with your own mouth, then you are making this belief personal. Right, so for example. How is it that we can verbalize our dependency on Allah Azza wa Jal? For example, when we are leaving the house, right? We are taught a very beautiful dua. When you're leaving the house, it's scary, right? You might come in contact with someone, you know, who has coronavirus, for example, and you feel that I might get, you know, I might get sick, right? Or you know, you have this fear when you're driving that what if I get into an accident? You have this fear that what if I slip? What if I fall? And these fears are very natural, right? And sometimes what happens is that people make fun of us for having these fears, or we are too afraid to even express our fears before people. So what is necessary that we say at that time, for example, when we're leaving the house, we verbalize our dependency on Allah. How? By saying, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Meaning, I leave the house in the name of Allah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah, I put my trust in Allah. I rely upon Allah. Right? Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and that there is no power or might except with Allah. So you verbalize your dependency on Allah, and what will happen? When you will say Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, instantly you will feel encouraged, right? You will feel that yes, I am not alone. Yes, Allah is there to protect me, right? And yes, I expect the best from Allah. And whatever happens, it's happening under Allah's watch, right? Allah is wakil. Wakil also means shaheed, a witness. Right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserver, so He does not let go waste, right? What you know, the effort of His slaves, the goodness of His slaves. So you say that, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Likewise, throughout the day, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? When you're eating, Bismillah. When you're entering the home, your house, again, Bismillah. When you're sitting in the car and you are about to drive away, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana. You mention the name of Allah. And every time that you remember Allah, whether it is before you eat, or when you're leaving the house, or when you're going to sleep, every time that you mention the name of Allah, what are you doing? You are verbalizing your dependency on Allah. Right, you are asking Allah for help. You are seeking blessing from Allah. So this is how we have tawakkul. This is how we rely upon Allah. Thirdly, how is it that we can rely upon Allah? We have to acknowledge our imperfection and our need of Allah. And it is actually very healthy to do that. Instead of always thinking that, you know what, I can do this myself. I'm fine. Right? I'm fine. I can do this. Instead of thinking that you are perfect and that you should be able to manage your work on your own and you should be able to complete your tasks by a certain date and you should be able to do this and you should be able to do that, you're placing a lot of burden on yourself, a lot of burden. Right? You are almost lying to yourself because as a human being, you are weak. You are imperfect, right? You need help. So part of tawakkul is that you acknowledge your imperfection. Just like the prophets of Allah did, أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. Ya Allah, I have been overcome. I feel so defeated. Right, so you help me. You acknowledge your imperfection. You acknowledge your weaknesses. You acknowledge your limitations. Right, and there is no blame in that. This just goes to show that you accept the fact that you're human and you are in need of help. This is part of tawakkul. And then fourthly, tawakkul. How else can you rely upon Allah? By attaching your heart to your Lord, meaning that you're constantly exercising, with your heart that, yes, Allah is there. Yes, Allah is enough for me. Yes, I put my trust in Allah, right? This is not just, something that you think about once in a while. This is a daily practice where you need to consciously, take that moment and feel in your heart, talk to yourself in your heart, Allah is enough for me. Allah is enough for me. You need to do that. This is an amal, an exercise of the heart. And then finally, another way that we can rely upon Allah is that we practice tawakkul in everything, whether it is big or small, right? Start with the little things even. For example, you have to get ready by a certain time, right? You're washing your hands, right? You're washing your hands. You follow the 20-second rule, right? You make sure that you put soap, thoroughly. You're scrubbing your hands and you are washing the soap off, right? But then there's always that fear, well, what if, right? What if? Well, that is where you remind yourself Allah is there, right? So practice tawakkul in every little and big thing. Now, tawakkul is in every matter. Remember that as Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, then this means that we should rely upon Allah in every matter. Because in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 23, we are told, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers, put your trust in Allah. In Surah Yunus, ayah 84, فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُسْلِمِينَ. If you are Muslims, put your trust in Allah. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 2, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are who? The list is mentioned. And finally, it is mentioned, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The believers are those who, they put their trust in their Lord. So put your trust in Allah. And part of that is that you seek help from Allah. In which matter? For example, in the matter of worshipping Allah. Right?
When it comes to salah even, we learn that salah can be difficult for people. It can be very difficult for some people. But for others, it is a source of relief, right? So put your trust in Allah, even when it comes to ibadah, even when it comes to worshiping Allah. Because without the help of Allah, we can't do anything. We cannot get up for fajr. We cannot pray our sunnah. We cannot pray salah consistently. Without the help of Allah, we cannot recite the Quran. We cannot memorize Quran. Without the help of Allah, we cannot, you know, complete our fasts. We cannot go for Hajj or for Umrah, even give zakat. So put your trust in Allah. When it's difficult to fast, for example, remind yourself, I'll put my trust in Allah. When you get up to pray and you realize, oh, I don't know if I've slept enough, right? Again, put your trust in Allah. So in order to worship Allah, you have to put your trust in Allah, because sometimes ibadah can feel difficult, right? Or there can be certain challenges. You know, you are in a place where, nobody is praying, but it is time for salah. So put your trust in Allah and get up to pray, right? Likewise, in the matter of sustenance, when it comes to rizq, when it comes to your business, your work, your source of income, again, put your trust in Allah. But remember that putting your trust in Allah doesn't just mean that, you know, you say Allah is enough for me. You also have to do what is pleasing to Allah. You also have to mend your affairs with Allah. That if your salah is not proper, you know, for example, if you're falling short in your duty towards your parents, right, then there will be difficulties in other matters. So yes, in the matter of sustenance, we put our trust in Allah, but part of that is that we also, make sure that we are fulfilling our responsibilities. Then also when it comes to, seeking justice, you want to get what is rightfully yours. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 10, it is mentioned, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. That whatever matter you differ in, right? And a lot of times people make claims to the same, property, etc. Then you have differences, then who will make the final judgment? فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah is the one who will make the final judgment. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. I put my trust in Allah, وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. I turn to Him. When seeking success, right? You really want to get good grades. You really want to, make sure that you win a certain competition. You get the job, right, that you applied for. So in Surah Ali Imran, verse 160, it is said, إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, there is no one at all who can overcome you. And then at the end of the verse, it is mentioned, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Upon Allah should the believers rely. Also when abandoned or when alone, put your trust in Allah. In Surah At-Tawbah 129, it is said, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. That if people turn away, then you should say, Allah is enough for me. Right? La ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu. I put my trust in Allah. When making promises or commitments, it's a risk that you're taking. Again, put your trust in Allah. In Surah Yusuf, ayah 66, we learn about how the father of Yusuf, alayhi salam, took that pledge from his sons. So he said, Allahu ala ma naqulu wakil. Allah is a wakil over what we are saying. Also, when you must draw boundaries with people, meaning you must move on because that relationship is not working, right? Or they are being abusive, or you feel that they're being unfair to you. They are kind of overwhelming you, so then you have to draw boundaries. But then there's always that fear, that risk that I think I need them, right? I don't know how I will survive without them. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 81, we learn, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Turn away from them and put your trust in Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah is enough as wakil. Also when taking risks, right? For example, in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 61, we learn about how if, an enemy is inclining toward making peace with you, then yes, make peace with them, وتوكل على الله, and put your trust in Allah. Because there's always that fear that what if they're doing this to trick us, right? So put your trust in Allah. When facing difficulties or in coming to terms with divine decree, that is difficult. In Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 51, we learn, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That nothing will hit us except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. Right? What Allah has decreed for us in our favor. He is our protector, and the believers put their trust in Allah. And also in everything that you intend to do, big or small. In Surah Ali Imran 159, we learn, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you make up your mind, then put your trust in Allah. In Surah At-Talaq, ayah 3, we learn, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, then Allah is enough for him or for her. Now, what is the benefit of tawakkul? When a person relies upon Allah Azza wa Jal, then what happens? A person is protected against shaitan. We learn in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 99, that إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ. Shaitan has no authority over who? عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Upon the people who believe and those who rely upon their Lord. So when you, for example, say your adhkar of protection, right? What are you doing? You are relying upon Allah. So shaitan will have no power against you, right? When you're leaving the house and you say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, right? Then you are relying upon Allah. We learn in hadith that it is said at that time that kufita wa wuqita wa hudita, that you are protected, right? You are saved, you are guided. So really, shaitan cannot harm such a person. So the person who relies upon Allah is protected against shaitan. Secondly, the person who relies upon Allah is protected against superstition, right? Because in hadith we learn at-tiyaratu shirk, right? That believing in omens, right? This is a kind of shirk, that a black cat passed. Oh no, something evil is going to happen. It's the 13th, right? Something evil is going to happen. So these kind of superstitious beliefs, what are they? They are a way of shirk, a way of associating partners with Allah, because you think that the passing of the black cat has the power to harm you. No, it doesn't have the power to harm you. Anything harmful comes by the permission of Allah, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُذْهِبُهَا بِالتَّوَكُّلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that superstition by tawakkul. What does that mean? That as much as we don't want to have superstitious beliefs, right? Because we are human and because we keep, you know, hearing these things and we keep, seeing them, coming across them, right? We sort of get accustomed to them. So for example, even though you don't believe in superstition, you enter an elevator and you see the number 13 missing, right? What is that? Reinforcing, and you tell yourself, no, there's no superstition. There's no superstition, right? We don't do that. But these things, you know, these thoughts creep in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that superstition. How? By means of tawakkul, that you put your trust in Allah, that no, the 13th has nothing, you know, it doesn't bring me harm or benefit. No, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So when you put your trust in Allah, then superstitious beliefs also go away. Also remember that tawakkul is a source of dignity and honor for a person. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 49, we learn, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, then Allah is aziz. He is mighty, and he will honor such people. Also we see that it is a means of earning Allah's love, because Surah Ali Imran 159, we learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah loves those who rely upon Him. And it is a cause of relief and sufficiency, because Surah At-Talaq, verse 3, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Allah is enough for the one who puts his trust in Allah. Allah will bring him relief, and Allah will give him what is sufficient for him. It is also a source of sustenance. Like in a narration, we learned that if you were to put your trust in Allah as you should, then you would be given provision like the birds are given their provision. They go out hungry in the morning and they come back with full bellies in the evening. So put your trust in Allah and you will be provided. Because in hadith, we learned that Allah says, I am as my servant thinks I am. So you expect from Allah and Allah will give you. And also remember that that some of the people who will be admitted into paradise without any hisab or any punishment, who are they? The Prophet ﷺ described them. And one of the things he mentioned is that وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, how is it that we can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name, Al-Wakil? First of all, we should say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Whatever difficulty that we are facing, right? Especially things that seem to be very overwhelming, extremely difficult to deal with. You know, you see your inability, your weakness, and you're like, how am I going to deal with this? I know what my limitation is, right? How am I going to deal with this on my own? So you remind yourself that you're not alone. You say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs, right? We learned that Ibrahim alayhi salam said this when he was thrown in the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. The companions said this after the Battle of Uhud, when the mushrikeen were coming back to attack them, right? In that state of injury and weakness, they said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was truly enough for them. Secondly, there is also this dua, Allahumma rahmataka arju, fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata'in, wa aslih li sha'ni kullahu, la ilaha illa anta. That, oh Allah, I hope for your mercy. Do not leave me to myself even for the blinking of an eye. Correct all of my affairs for me. There is none worthy of worship but you. You see, in this dua, we're saying, Ya Allah, do not even leave me to myself. You take care of my matters, right? Don't make me in charge. Don't make me the boss. I can't do this, right? I need you to manage my affairs. I need you to help me. So a beautiful dua. And in hadith, we learned that this is da'watul makroob, for a person who is in karb, who is in great difficulty. Also in the night, we learned the Prophet ﷺ would say a dua, part of which is, Allahumma laka aslamtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu. That, oh Allah, I surrender to you, I believe in you, and I put my trust in you. And then a similar dua, Allahumma laka aslamtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu. And then the ending is slightly different. In the first dua, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, faghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu. And in the second dua, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from going astray. Ameen. So inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.